from the San Diego Mission Academy. It's Monday, June 14th, 2021 at 3:15. Some of our protocols, place your phone on mute until such time you are presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Please do not place your phone on hold. If you need to leave the call, please hang up and then dial back into the teleconference. On March 17, 2020, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order N-2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies governed by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically by dialing the conference line listed above and may submit written comment for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to vmendoza, sdmissionacademy.org. Public comment on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comment session of the public meeting. So we're going to open up and we'll call our meeting to order and we'll establish a quorum. So we'll do a roll call. Carol Stamper, present. Claudette Beck, present. Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dorch,
present.
Barbara Willebrand, present. So we have a quorum. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask Claudette Beck to do that and everyone else to put on mute.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Place your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lovely, thank you. So now we're going to go to 1E, approve agenda for the June 14th, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. I'd like to have a motion and a second to approve this agenda.
Barbara Dorch, second. John Dorch, okay, second.
So, good, we got this. So Barbara Willebrand has motioned and John Dorch has seconded. So we'll vote right now. Carol Stamford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1E has been approved unanimously. So now we are on 1F. Approved minutes of the May 18, 2021 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. And also approved minutes for operation by Alta Vista Public Charter Inc. on May 18, 2021. So these are on pages 8 through 12. I assume everyone has read these. Are there any questions or comments on 1F? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 1F?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
So Mike Malloy has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stamford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 1F has been approved unanimously. Thank you. So now we're on consent agenda. All items listed on the consent
Carol,
agenda.
Carol, could I interrupt you for a minute? This is Bill.
Certainly.
I'm not sure we did the introductions.
We didn't. No, I get on automatic and I just keep going. I'm sorry. All right. Let's do our staff introduction. Darn it. I can't believe I did that. Okay.
Thank you very much. Madam President, good afternoon. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
All right. Welcome, Mr. Brown. School staff.
This is Jenna Eunice, Principal, San Diego Mission Academy.
Kevin Ogden, I'm the liaison to our charter authorizer, Warner Unified.
Good afternoon. This is Jeff Martineau, Vice President, Charter Relations.
All right. Welcome, all of you. School Legal Counsel.
Yeah, Bill Thompson. Good afternoon, everyone. Legal Counsel.
Also, advisors who are supporting agenda items are presenting.
Good afternoon, Board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with LLIC.
And good afternoon, Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLIC.
All right. And any other staff who wants to introduce themselves? All right. So welcome, everyone. I'm sorry I did that, but please welcome to our meeting. All right. So now let's go back to our agenda, to the consent agenda. I guess I'm racing through, huh? So all items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. This is A, 1 and 2. 1, the board will be asked to approve the revised Title IX Harassment, Intimidation, Discrimination, and Bullying Policy. 2, the board will be asked to accept a uniform complaint report for the 2020-21 school year. And there are 0 complaints received, which is very nice. So does anyone want any of these two tabled or discussed? All right, so can we get a motion to approve the consent agenda A, 1, and 2?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand approved. Second. Okay, so Mike Malloy has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has seconded, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So the consent agenda 1 and 2 have been passed unanimously. So now we're on 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comment will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item or 10 minutes for non-agenda items. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the meeting for a future meeting. So, Shelley, has anyone contacted you from the public?
Hi, this is Shelley Sam, here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments.
Thank you. So now we're on 4, school reports and information. So we have a principal update with Jenna.
Thank you, Board President. This is Jenna Eunice with the principal update. Everyone's having a nice day today. All right. I'd like to start with some enrollment updates. We are at 148 students, which is pretty on target for the end of the school year and in trend with what we've seen this past school year. We've remained pretty steady. And at the end of the year with our spring graduation, we always dip a little bit. We have had 23 graduates this school year. We had many last year in our first year. We actually had fewer this past school year, but we have some that are coming right up, and actually one that graduated today. So we did hold a spring virtual graduation ceremony on Tuesday, June 8th, last week. We offer students the choice between a drive-through graduation and a virtual graduation, and they overwhelmingly chose virtual. We always have a small group, but the ceremonies are very intimate at SDMA. We work hard to make it personal and meaningful and to celebrate the individual students' accomplishments over their adversities and their future plans. So we did have a student speaker who spoke in her living room with mom cooking dinner behind her, you know, and other family members walking through the house. And it was very real and very authentic and very humbling. There are many staff members who are in tears at our SDMA graduations just because we really do form good relationships with students. We recognize each student, and staff members who have worked with that student actually introduce that student and call their name for our virtual applause or virtual recognition. And then we always provide the student an opportunity to speak as well. So it was really special. For the month of June, our teachers will be meeting with students and their advocates, parents, guardians, and caregivers to discuss their spring progress, future goals, expected graduation dates, and then future events. We are asking all of our students to sign up for engagement events at the beginning of the school year based on an events calendar we've created for next school year. We will also be requiring quarterly teacher, parent, student conferences so that we can more frequently check in formally, especially with parents, caregivers, and guardians, on the progress of our students.
The SDMA team will be participating in professional development workshops next week on shared vision, the power of positivity, organizational psychology, mindfulness, customer service, multiple tiers of success or intervention, accommodations and differentiation strategies, tech tools, student engagement, and crisis and grief training. We have a packed agenda, but we're really looking forward to that. I want to end with a student success story. This is from Savan. Savan is a young man who graduated with SDMA this past month with a 2.84 GPA. He attended high school starting in 2012-2013 when he first came to the U.S., but he dropped out after 2 years. He took it upon himself to re-enroll in our program as an adult through the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. He was considered an English learner, but his first language was Arabic. He was the recipient of our Lifelong Learning Charter Organization Scholarship for this school year, and he has plans to further his education while working to support his family, as he has always done. Here is an excerpt from his scholarship essay. I am from Iraq. When I was in Iraq, I witnessed killings and bombs. My family and I were always scared for our lives. We were forced to leave our home. Although I was only 13 years old, I was not able to attend school. When I came to the United States, I had the opportunity to go to school and continue my education, but again, I had to work to support my family and could not attend. Finally, I was able to find San Diego Mission Academy, where I could work and attend school at the same time. I learned that I had skills and knowledge of areas that I did not know I had. I will be attending Grossmont College and would like to expand my dreams to become a construction worker and build and fix dream homes for others. I could not have imagined myself here today. In the United States, I learned that no matter how old a person is, there is always an opportunity to continue education and follow their dreams. So thank you. That concludes my principal's report for this board meeting.
That makes me want to cry, Jenna. This is Carol Stanford. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Any comments from the board?
Yeah, this is quite a Beck. I just think that those kind of stories are exactly what we're about, and I'm so glad that student, you know, got to finish his education. It's just marvelous.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
No, thank you.
That's why we're here. Wow, that's great. Any other?
Mark Malloy, Kirkers with everybody else.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to move on to finance update B, and that's Gita.
Thank you, board. So this is the information on the item on the agenda. I'd just like to refer the board to PDF page 33. It has all the information updated as of end of April for Hanmi revolving line of credit. And the credit amount, the interest rate, the expiration date, the covenant from the bank, so all of that information is included there for the board's reference. So that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita. Very, very concise. Any other comments from the board members? All right. So we're going to move now to report on mathematic placement results. Jenna.
Thank you. This is Jenna Yunus again, reporting on the California math placement policy. So in 2015, the state of California required the board to adopt a fair, objective, and transparent mathematics placement policy. This policy was adopted with the creation of our charter, and minor revisions were approved to the policy in 2020. This policy addresses students entering ninth grade and includes a number of required elements to assure equity in student achievement, including multiple objective academic measures, at least one placement checkpoint within the first month of the school year to ensure accurate placement and permit re-evaluation of individual progress, an annual examination of pupil placement data, to ensure that students are not held back in a disproportionate manner on the basis of race, ethnicity, gender, or socioeconomic background, annual report to be provided to the governing board, clear and timely recourse for each pupil and his or her parents or legal guardians who questions the student's placement, and the policy to be posted on each school's website. This is based on years of monitoring of student math assessment data and observations from teachers, but math continues to be a challenge for many students. This pandemic year created additional challenges for both our SDME math teachers and our students, but our dedicated teachers and tutors nonetheless did a great job meeting the challenges head-on and supporting students in their math courses. For the 2021 school year, our math placement for ninth graders fell into three categories: below grade level, at grade level, and above grade level. We utilized such data as academic records, transcripts, benchmark results from the initial diagnostic or semester benchmark exam, and students who were identified as needing additional support or intervention by their teachers. So if a student was below grade level, we placed them in pre-algebra and math foundations based upon the metrics mentioned. If they were at grade level based upon the metrics mentioned, then we placed them in an Algebra 1 core class. That's considered at grade level. And if they were above grade level and had completed an Algebra 1 course, we placed them in Geometry, Algebra 2, Pre-Calculus, or Financial Algebra, depending on the transcript's history and post-secondary personalized learning plan. And every student has to complete algebra as part of their high school graduation requirements. So we continue to evaluate this data yearly and will report to the board. We also continuously evaluate students' progress in their courses as the year goes on, specifically in math, where our math teachers are very hands-on and knowledgeable in working one-on-one with our students and their skill levels. So this concludes my report on the math placement policy.
Thank you so much, Jenna. Any other comments from the board members?
What kind of program do you offer? Excuse me, I have a question about the math. What kind of program do you use for the remedial math?
So at this point in time, that's a great question. This is Principal Eunice again. At this point in time, we don't use a program such as Math 180 or other computer programs. We use just one-on-one intervention support in the below grade level courses like pre-algebra or math foundations, depending on where the student's skill levels lie. And we have specific teachers and tutors that work with the students to achieve the proficiency levels in those courses. And then we retest on our benchmark exam before we place into the algebra level class.
So you don't like Math 180?
We just never, at San Diego Mission Academy, we've never utilized Math 180. We're 2 years, young, and this will be our third year of operation. So it's not something that we've rolled out. It's just something that, as of yet, we haven't had a great need for, possibly because our enrollment is so low that we are able to kind of manage those interventions for math at a one-on-one level.
Okay. Just wanted to check with you.
Great question.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thank you so much, Jenna. So let's report to Dee, the LCFF Local Indicators Report. Jenna.
All right, hello again. This is Principal Eunice. Thank you for your patience today as we have a large agenda. I'm going to start with the LCFF Local Indicators on page 35 in your board packet. And I'm going to tell you how SDMA reflected on each of these indicators to receive our score of MET. To give you a little bit of background, all schools in California are required to measure and report on key local indicators, which are based on five of the LCFS Local Control Funding Formula state priorities. We used the self-reflection tools provided by the CDE to determine if the performance standard was met or not met. The results will be uploaded into the California dashboard this fall. This year, the CDE changed the process from reporting on these metrics throughout the year to requiring them all to be reported to school boards at the same time the LCAP is adopted. We met standards in all areas for the following state priorities. There are seven. Priority number one, appropriately assigned teachers and access to curriculum-aligned instructional materials. At the bottom of page 35, you'll see we had no teachers misassigned, and our students had access to quality instructional materials at home. So we met priority number one. Priority number two starts on page 36, implementation of state academic standards. This priority was also met. We consider ourselves in full implementation of academic standards and curriculum frameworks with initial implementation in world languages and identified growth areas in English language development coursework,
which we have addressed and are continuing to prioritize this school year. We scored a 3.89 out of 5, which was positive growth from the last school year. Priority number 3 is parent engagement. We elicit feedback from parents, caregivers, and guardians about their experience with school in a variety of formats. They rated our school on a scale of 1 to 5 in these 3 key areas: building relationships between school staff and families, building partnerships for student outcomes, and seeking input for decision-making. We met that metric. Sorry, I just lost my place. Priority number 4. Let me tell you what page that's on. Sorry, did I miss? Excuse me one moment. I'm going to go down here. Sorry, I thought I completely lost my thought. Here we go.
It's okay, Jenna. You're making me feel better.
You know, I'm looking here in our board packet too, and I'm like, am I missing something, or are we all?
It's all right here. We're all in this together.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll go on to priority number 6, which is school climate. So this is a metric that the state mandates, and we ask students about their sense of safety and connectedness. Each year, we report student survey results, and this year, the pandemic did have a small impact on the results for how connected students felt. This slight decrease shows how important our interactions with students are and how much we were all affected by the pandemic. Priority 7 we met was access to a broad course of study. It's important that all students have access to essential courses. State Priority 7 requires us to report on access to courses as outlined in Education Code 51220. We use data from our student information system to examine enrollment in the following courses: English, Math, Science, Social Science, Foreign Language, Physical Education, Visual and Performing Arts, Career Technology courses, Automobile Education, English Language Development courses, and Intervention courses. The data analysis showed that all students who are English learners, low income, foster youth, and special education had access to the courses required for a broad course of study as defined in the Education Code. Right, so that concludes my report for those local indicators, and thank you very much.
So we've been in the local indicator report so much this last year, we kind of feel like we're in it with you. Any other comments from board members?
I have a question for Jenna. Do you ever give the Healthy Kids survey? Because in the high school, in the 9th grade, we had to give that.
No, I don't think they have given the California Healthy Kids survey that is a great question. I don't believe we've given that. We give the version of that we give, I think, covers some of that.
Right. I just wondered, because we were required to give that at the high school.
Mm-hmm. I remember that as well, yeah.
Okay. Barbara, for just a sec, can you refresh us on what that is?
Well, it touches on a lot of things. It touches on teacher performance. It touches on, it mainly talks about school safety and how safe they feel. But it does touch on other areas, teacher performance and all those areas that would be applied to that.
I think our LCSS does almost the same thing. I really do. We'll see. All right. Any other questions from board members? All right, let's move on to E, annual IRS Form 990, return of organizational exempt from income tax for the California return for 2019. And that's Gita.
Thank you, Board. This is, again, another information only for the Board. All of you must have received a draft copy prior to the Form 990 tax return filed with the IRS. So I'm just notifying the Board that the form was filed timely. If there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita, for that report. Any other questions from the Board members? If not, we're going to go into a public hearing. And so I need a motion and a second for us to go into a public hearing.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to go into a public hearing.
Mike Malloy, second.
All right, so Claudia Beck has motion. Mike Malloy has second. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudia Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So the public hearing is now open at 3:41. The Board has allotted 30 minutes for this public hearing. Members of the public still have 3 minutes each to address the Board during the public comment section of the meeting. The Board may extend this time upon majority vote. The Board will first hear a presentation on the budget overview for parents and the local control accountability plan, the LCAP, from Jenna Unit. All right, Jenna.
Thank you very much, Board President Stanford, community members, public, and the Board. All right. So if you turn to page 61 of your packet, you can follow along, and I'll be referencing some pages there. So I'll start with the LCFS budget overview for parents, and then I'll review the analysis of the LCAP and LCP from the previous year and discuss how SDMA created the LCAP for 21-22 with stakeholder input. So the budget overview for parents is intended to help stakeholders outside of the school better understand funding decisions included in the local education agency's budget. The revenue and expenditures referenced in the budget overview for parents is tied to the LEA's 21-22 adopted budget, its 21-22 LCAP, and the 2021 Learning Continuity and Attendance Plan, or LCP. So pages 61 and 62 show the projected general purpose revenue by funding source that SDMA expects to receive in the coming year from all sources. The total school year 21-22 projected revenue is $2,609,695, of which 78%, or $2,045,301, is LCFS revenue. 12% is federal and local funds, and 10% is all other state funds. The LCFF supplemental and concentration grants seen in the pie chart on the right side of the page total $350,796, and that number is generated based on the enrollment of our high-need students, foster youth, English learners, and low-income students. The LCFF gives school districts flexibility in deciding how to use state funds, and in exchange, school districts must work with parents, educators, students, and the community to develop a local control and accountability plan, or LCAP, that shows how they will use these funds to serve students. On page 63, you'll see that the school plans to spend $2,477,824 in the next school year. Of that amount, all but $18,200 is tied to actions and services within the LCAP. On page 64, you'll see prior year expenditures for increasing or improving services for high-need students. In the 2020-21 school year, San Diego Mission Academy budgeted $293,800 for planned actions to increase or improve services for high-need students in its learning continuity plan. We actually spent $294,628 for actions to increase or improve services for high-need students. So moving on to our annual update for the 1920 LCAP, please direct your attention to page 65, and I will review that. For goal number one, increasing student retention, SDMA met or increased metrics related to student retention with the exception of attendance rate goals.
Retention was 80.9%, dropout completer rate was 9.4%, and suspension and expulsion rates were 0%. While in attendance, the first three quarters of the year was only 64.26%. SDMA has seen promising trends of increasing attendance, and actions have been put into place to address this. For goal number two, increased credit completion, goal two begins on page 70. Due to opening in the 1920 school year and switching curriculum and school information systems mid-year, we did not have baseline data for comparison on some of these metrics, but we look forward to increasing credit completion and graduation rate data in the future. Our English learner reclassification rate was 9%, which is below the California average of 14%, and it is an area of growth we are already addressing through increasing our EL support staff in the coming school year. Goal number three was proficiency in online learning. Goal number three begins on page 74. In a very difficult year, we had successes to celebrate in online course completion. We saw an overall enrollment of 257 students go through and offered 100% of all required courses to our students in a virtual format. Teachers were highly qualified in each subject area, leading to better intervention, remediation, and acceleration instructional practices one-on-one. 100% online learning does come with unique challenges and is not for all students. We are continuing to communicate the expectations and teach the skills necessary for students to be successful from enrollment to orientation and throughout. Goal number four, to improve career readiness, is on page 77 of your board packet. We did offer a paper-based career readiness course in our first school year, but we'll be moving to a college and career preparation two-semester course that is integrated with the online curriculum platform our students currently use. We are looking forward to increased success with this new course series. One challenge we face related to career technical education is having qualified CTE teachers versus our smallest school. While we met metrics for improving career readiness, we would like to continue to improve and offer a wider breadth of career tech options for our students. Goal five, increasing stakeholder engagement, was met as well. We had many successes to celebrate as well in this metric, but despite challenges, we increased stakeholder involvement. We had high survey results, with 98% of students reporting that they felt safe and a high percentage feeling connected. We understand that school communication supports engagement and that we need support for our students at home. For the annual update for the 2021 LCP, I would like to direct your attention to page 84. So each section of this plan shows the actual expenditures as compared to the estimated expenditures for each category in our learning continuity plan. The document should show how money was allocated to distance learning and how Mission Academy addressed potential pupil learning loss, mental health and social emotional well-being, and family engagement and outreach during the pandemic year. I'll tell you, because we are already virtual, many on our team did not anticipate grade disruption or change to our instructional practices as a result of COVID transitioning education online. However, we were pleasantly surprised to find that the pandemic challenged all educators, including ourselves, to provide better distance learning instruction for students and challenged our school team to improve our practices. There were more resources available for students in terms of tech tools and educator-developed resources, additional resources from organizations who created additional features for already existing online platforms like Teams and Zoom. The County Offices of Education and the CDE held countless webinars for teachers to improve engaging students in learning and addressing social emotional needs. So our teaching team and administration took advantage of that to better inform our own learning distance learning practices and to monitor student progress for better data-informed instructional practices. Now I'd like to transition from our past LCAP and LCP to share the LCAP for 21 through 24 with the board and community members in attendance. So please turn to page 106 for the start of our 21-22 LCAP. As mentioned during the April board meeting, our LCAP goals were streamlined from 5 to 4. The draft plan was reviewed for feedback with SDMA stakeholders and reviewed again with SDMA stakeholders after being finalized prior to this meeting. I will now review each goal in brief. You can start here to follow along. Goal number one, increase academic performance. Goal number one is a focus goal to increase academic progress for all students, especially English learners, low-income, and foster youth students who struggled over the past year. You can review the plan details for goal number one, and those are on page 110. SCMA is committed to mitigating the learning loss of unduplicated students, and we know we will see improvements in the benchmark assessment data, EL reclassification rate, course completion rate, and graduation rate for all students. This is a gap that we can close with tiered and targeted actions for prevention, intervention, and retention. For goal number two, which begins on page 115, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. This is a broad goal that will focus on giving all students, including unduplicated students, the skills required for college or career readiness. SDMA supports the interests of students in their personalized learning goals and recognizes the need for college and career support. All students receive state standards aligned curriculum, but moving forward, we will also engage them in a college and career preparation course with their advisor, where they will have access as well to monthly college and career digital workshops led by our school staff. We are tracking A through G completion metrics in our school information system for all students, regardless of post-secondary plans, and all students junior and senior year will schedule time to meet with counselors for financial aid applications and scholarship review. We expect these metrics to show improvement for all student groups, and moreover, we know we are helping students transition from high school to post-secondary with the actions taken. Goal number three remains to increase student retention. So on page 120, you'll see information regarding this goal. We measure our retention through the rate of retention of students who stay with us, graduate with us, or who rematriculate back to their previous school or another school program. Our mission is to successfully help students restore trust in the school system and get them back on track with their personalized learning goals. Our trauma-informed and trained staff know how to effectively communicate and interact with the population of students who have had limited school success in the past. In consultation with students, their families, and staff, and through a multi-tier system of intervention and support that starts with prevention, we will continue to provide collaborative educational environments for the retention and success of all of our students. Our last goal is to increase stakeholder involvement. This goal is outlined on page 125 of your board packet and is a maintenance goal that will be a focus of SDMA in the next school year particularly. We know that student, parent, and caregiver or guardian engagement and support from home is pivotal for a student's academic progress, and we want to do better. Participation should be more than just encouraged, and for this reason, we will be requiring student workshop engagement, orientation, and reorientation in some cases. We will be hosting student and parent awards, sending surveys, and inviting parents to be part of our advisories, as well as holding open office hours with teachers and our leadership team. We have seen some of these efforts already have a positive impact on their student school experience, and we want to continue to build them out. Please now reference pages 129 through 133 for a breakdown of actions and estimated expenditures. These actions were developed with stakeholder feedback from students, parents, staff, and community. We are proud to present this LCAP, and we look forward to increased student outcomes and future successes to share with our board. So I now invite any comments or questions from the board or the public, as this otherwise concludes my report on the budget overview for parents, the annual update on the 1920 LCAP, the annual update on the 2021 LCP, and the 21-22 LCAP for SDMA. Thank you for your attention.
Hey, Jenna, this is Carol Stanford. That's a lot of work, and we really do appreciate it. It's really evolving into a wonderful plan, and I'm thinking we have like 148 students, and I think we're going to grow a lot next year. You guys are a healthy school, so thanks for all the hard work. Any comments from other board members?
I agree with you, Carol.
Oh, thank you. All right, we appreciate all that. That was a lot that you had to do, and we appreciate it so much. All right. If there's no other comments, I'm going to say the board will now solicit recommendations and comments from members of the public on the budget overview for parents' plan. Are there any members of the public on the conference line who wish to offer comment Are there any members of the public who submitted written comment to the board? And that would be for you, Shelley.
Hi, this is Shelley Sands reporting that there were no members of the public who submitted written comment.
Well, thank you so much. So now I'd like to have a motion and a second to close the public hearing. Orville Brand moves.
Claudette Beck seconds.
So Barbara Willebrand has motioned and Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy? Mike Malloy? Mike, go off mute. it's long. Okay, John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we have four votes for it, and I believe Mike is on mute and didn't hear us, so it is passed, all right? Is that all right to do that way, Bill?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now we're going to say that we went out, we voted four votes to one person not being online to close our public meeting, all right? So now we're going to go to six action items. The board will be asked to...
Carol? Yes? Sorry, one more thing. What time are we closing the public hearing?
Oh, absolutely. We're at 3:56. The public hearing is now closed at 3:56.
Thank you.
That was my last line. Thank you. Keep me going here. All right. So now we're on six, action items. The board will be asked to confirm its acknowledgement that Carol Stanford, Claudette Beck, Mike Malloy, John Dortch, and Barbara Willebrand have been reappointed as members of the Board of Directors by Educational Advancement Corporation, the sole member of Alta Vista Public Charter, Inc., for the term July 1, 2021 through July 30, 2022. And we want to thank you all for reconfirming us. Anybody else have a comment? All right. Can I have a motion and a second that we approve 6A?
John Dortch.
Okay, John Dortch. John Dortch motion and second. Okay, hi, Mike. Mike Malloy second. All right. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6A has passed unanimously, and just a little review, it was motioned by John Dortch and second by Mike Malloy. All right. Being the board will be asked to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various sundry times. And this is Jenna.
Thank you. This is Jenna Eunice again. I'd like to ask the board to reauthorize the officers of the corporation to award discretionary incentives to employees at various and sundry times. These incentives are discretionary, but will be determined based on the current budgetary and financial needs of the school. Thank you.
All right. So this is Carol Stanford, and we appreciate that you do that for the employees of the school. Any other comments or questions? Can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
So Mike Malloy has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6B has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 6C. The board will be asked to approve the local control funding formula, LCFF, for school year 2021-22, which drives the primary source of funding for the charter school. Geeta.
Thank you, board. This is Geeta with LLAC. So the local control funding formula, or the LCFF, determines the funding for charter schools. It creates funding targets based on student characteristics. The LCFF calculation is the largest source of unrestricted revenue, and it's essential to the budget and LCAP development for the school. For fiscal year 21-22, the LCFF funding formula will provide a total of $2,045,301 in revenue. This total includes a base funding that depends exclusively on ADA by grade span of $1,694,505, or 82.8% of the total LCFF funding.
and also a supplemental and concentration funding of $350,796 or 17.2% of the total LCFS funding that is determined by the number of pupils the school serves that are identified as low-income, foster children, English learners, or homeless students. This concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dita. We appreciate that. Any questions or comments from the other board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6C?
Barbara Willebrand moved to accept 6D.
Claudette Beck, I'll second that.
So Barbara Willebrand has motioned, Claudette Beck has seconded. So now we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6D has been approved unanimously. We are now on 6D. The board will be asked to approve the Education Protection Account, EPA, spending determination. Gita.
Hello again, board. So the EPA funding is a component of the school's total LCFS entitlement. It's a state aid for the school. As shown on the budget report on page 5 of the Form 62, and your budget starts on PDF pages 48-59. It's object code 8012. For current fiscal year, the school will receive EPA revenue of $21,788. For next fiscal year, 21-22, the estimated EPA revenue is based on the latest LCFS calculator, which is $33,726, and all the funds will be spent in instructional expenditures, which is function code 1000. And that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Gita, so much. Any questions from the board? Comments? Can I have a motion and a second to approve 6D?
John Dorch moved. Mike Malloy second.
So John Dorch has moved and Mike Malloy has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Betch?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6D has been approved unanimously. We are now on 6E. The board will be asked to approve the budget for the 2021-22 fiscal year. And this is Jenna.
Hi, thank you very much. This is Jenna Eunice. Annually, the charter schools must prepare and submit a board-approved annual budget to our chartering authority and the county superintendent of schools. The budget for the 2021-22 school year is a financial projection based on our school's projected enrollment and ADA, which determines the projected revenue and projected expenditures based on the school's planning of instructional programs, staffing supplies, instructional materials, and services to students. I would like to introduce Gita Sharifi again to provide a detailed presentation of the SDMA budget.
Thank you, Jenna. So the preparation of the San Diego Mission Academy budget included several changes to the school funding rate due to adjustments to the state budget in the recent May revision by the governor. And also it included additional funds coming from COVID relief funding. The funding projections for next fiscal year include a COLA increase of 5.07% to the LCFS funding rate compared to the prior year. This power COLA is a combination of a restoration of a 2.31% COLA from fiscal year 2021 that was set to zero last fiscal year, plus a 1.7% COLA for fiscal year 21-22, and an additional 1% boost to the base rate with a compounded total of 5.07% for 21-22. Projection for fiscal year 21-22 also includes additional one-time revenue from the Expanded Learning Opportunity Grant, or ELO, that will bring additional funds to cover learning gaps resulted from distance learning during the pandemic. Now we're going to review these budget changes and budget matters in the report. So again, the budget is starting on page 48 of your PDF and it ends on page 59. The school is projecting an ADA of 168 for next year. plan shows a substantial increase of 60 ADA compared to current funding year ADA of 108. Revenue from LCFS sources is projected to increase from $1.2 million to $2 million due to combined effect of the increase in funding ADA of 55% and the increase in LCFS funding rate of 5.07%. producing a net increase LCFS of funding of 62%. Federal funds show an increase of 29% from $28,000 to $36,000, coming from a combination of slight increase in federal Fed funds, absence of one-time federal funds that the school received in prior year from learning loss mitigation funding, and the addition of a new Title I fund that the school anticipates to receive next fiscal year. The amount of the Title I allotted to the school is about $16,234, and Jenna will discuss the funding later on the agenda. Other state revenue is projected to increase 131% from $106,000 to $247,000 from a combination of an increase in state bed and lottery funds due to an increase in funding ADA. Similar levels of mandated block grant funding, as this funding is based on prior year's ADA, and an additional one-time revenue of $100,000 coming from an expanded learning opportunity grant, or ELO. And lastly, the school is projecting additional one-time revenue of $280,000 from forgiveness of PPP loans that the school expects to receive during the next fiscal year. However, this PPP revenue will be contingent upon the SBA approval when the school applies for forgiveness during the next fiscal year. The revenue projected for 21-22 fiscal year is $2.6 million, an increase of $1.1 million or 80% compared to current year. On the expense side, the budget is projecting a total expenditures of $2.4 million. It reflects an increased salaries and benefits from $921,000 to $104 million, or 53%, due to increased budget for all school positions, and primarily in teachers and instructional support staff. Budgeted purchases will increase from $71,000 to $231,000, due to increase in student supplies and equipment. Budget for operating expenses increased from $373,000 to $769,000, or 106%, and it includes increase in travel and conferences and training, professional and instructional services, and communication expenses. The school is budgeting for an excess revenue of $131,000 for fiscal year 21-22. This excess revenue and the current year's year-end projected negative net position of $405,000, the school will end up fiscal year 21-22 with a projected negative net position of $273,000. During the current fiscal year, the school's funding was limited due to ADA hold harmless, which prevented the school from improving this negative net position. Next fiscal year, the school will be funded based on its growing enrollment. And with the growth of enrollment and funding and management of staffing, the school will progressively build a healthy school reserve. Also, the school is prepared for cash deferrals that will take place in June of 2022. This deferral will cause a delay of approximately 3 weeks in payment of June's apportionment, which will be covered with the school's cash resources. School leaders, with the support of finance team, continue to monitor cash flow on a weekly basis to make sure the school meets all cash needs and follows the budget plan. This concludes my report, and if there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
This is Carol Stanford, Board President Stanford. When will hold harmless be done with? I mean, when can we start getting higher enrollment and be able to clear up our deficit?
So the hold harmless was this fiscal year, 2021. So 2022 is based on school enrollment. So so we'll see how the school ends on P2 at the end of the fiscal year. So at that time, we'll see how next year will what next year will bring. So,
all right.
So are you not? I have a question. So are you not required to keep a reserve? I mean, I know you can't right now, but are you required to do that in the future?
So part of one of the areas that the board approved was for the school to have a cash reserve, and a percentage allotted to that cash reserve for uncertainties, and the school officials and the principal and area groups, they're all working on making sure that happens in the future. So there was a 3-year cash projection, I know, that was prepared. So the school is working on that. They have plans for that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other questions from board members?
Okay, it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds. I'm hoping for the best here. All right, so we need a motion and a second to approve 6E.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Claudette.
Willebrand, second.
All right, so Claudette Beck has motioned, and Barbara Willebrand is second, and we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6E has been approved unanimously. We are now on 6F. The board will be asked to approve the budget overview for parents and local control accountability plan, the LCAP, for the 2021-24 school year. And this is Jenna.
Thank you, Board President Stanford. I would like to recommend that the board approve the budget overview for parents and local control and accountability plan as was reviewed in the public hearing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jenna. And we're all pretty much acquainted with it. Any questions from other board members? All right. Can I have a motion? Was there a question? A motion and a second to approve 6F.
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
All right. Mike Malloy moves. All right. And John George seconded. All right. So just to reiterate, Mike Malloy motioned and John George seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6F has been passed unanimously. We are on 6G. The board will be asked to approve the school's application for Title I federal funds and submit the federal addendum to receive Title I funds for the 2021-22 fiscal year. And that's Jenna.
Thank you. Yes. Please refer to your board packet beginning on page 149 if you'd like additional information about the Title I fund. I'd like to provide a short background for the board and the community. So we're interested in applying for additional funds through the Every Student Succeeds Act, commonly known as Title I. In 1965, the federal government began providing additional funding for disadvantaged pupils. Schools receive the funds based on the number of students who qualify for free and reduced lunch. The exact amount that a school will receive next year will depend on the amount allotted to the state of California in the next few months and the number of SDMA students who qualify for free or reduced lunch. The federal addendum is included in your board packet, and it completes the template provided by the California Department of Education and will be the first step in our application process. It describes the capacity our school has to meet the federal requirements that accompany the funding. We can use the funds to upgrade programs and support students with the greatest need, including intervention, small group targeted instruction, English learner support, tutoring, counseling, reading, math programs, technology, and parent engagement. The board is asked to approve the school's application for Title I funds and submit the federal addendum, which will allow us to apply for the Title I federal funds for the 2021-22 school year. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jenna. Any questions from the board? All right, let's have a motion and a second to approve 6G.
Claudette Beck, I'll make a motion.
I second.
Okay. All right. So Claudette Beck has motioned and Barbara Willebrand has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6G has passed unanimously. So now we're on 6H. The board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process and submission for all reports required for the 2021-22 school year. And this is Jenna.
Thank you, Board President. When in doubt, just Jenna. So the board will be asked to approve the consolidated application process, commonly referred to as the CONAP. It is used by the California Department of Education to distribute categorical funds from various federal programs to county offices, school districts, and direct fund to charter schools. Annually, from mid-May to the end of June, each local education agency using the consolidated application and reporting system submits the spring release of the CONAP. The spring release documents participation in these programs and provides assurances that the LEA will comply with the legal requirements of each program. Program entitlements are determined by formulas contained in the laws that create the program. The school will be requesting Title I Part A federal funds. Title I Part A is a federal categorical program contained in the consolidated application. The purpose is to ensure that all children have a fair and equal opportunity to obtain a high-quality education and reach, at a minimum, proficiency on state content standards and assessments. The intent of this funding is to meet the educational needs of low-achieving students enrolled in high-poverty schools. The winter release of the CONAP is submitted via cards from mid-January to the end of February each year and contains the LEA entitlements for each funded program. For each federal program entitlement, the LEAs allocate funds for their program as indicated by the program requirement. The board is asked to approve the CONAP process and submission for all reports required for the school for the 2021-22 school year. Thank you.
All right. So thank you so much, Jenna. Any questions from the board on H? If not, could I have a motion and a second to approve H, 6H?
Alder Willebrand moved to approve H.
Got a Beck second.
So Barbara Willebrand has moved and Claudette Beck has seconded. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6H has been approved unanimously. So now we're on 6I. The board will be asked to renew a revolving line of credit, the RLOC, from Hamney Bank for the 2021-22 school year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to the RLOC provisions. Geeta.
Thank you, Board. So in the prior years, the school has had the opportunity to obtain financing through Hamney Bank that offers revolving line of credit at low interest rate compared to finance other financing mechanisms such as sales of receivables that has a very high interest rate. This request has been approved by the board since fiscal year 18-19. For next fiscal year 21-22, the school is requesting the annual approval for the $1 million standard line of credit from Hamney Bank. The interest rate is prime rate plus 0.5%. Currently, the rate is set at 3.75%. Renewal will have the same provisions as the current agreement, and if there are any changes, they will be brought back to the board for review. And that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you, Geeta. Any questions from the board members? Comments? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6I?
Mike Malloy makes a motion.
Chatter, second.
So Mike Malloy has moved. John George has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So 6I has been approved unanimously. Thank you, everyone. 6J, the board will be asked to approve obtaining a loan from LLAC during the 2021-22 fiscal year as needed to maintain adequate cash flow pursuant to promissory note provisions and applicable interest. Jenna.
Hi, this is Jenna Yunus. Thank you. LLAC offers short-term borrowing that supports the school when necessary. I would like to introduce Gita Sharifi once again to the board to provide the amount and specific terms of such borrowing.
Thank you, Jenna. So, for the LLAC promissory note template and the provisions are on page 161 of your PDF packet. And this is just another short-term financing alternative that the school uses to meet short-term cash needs. It's the low-interest alternative, and it allows the school to access additional funds. I'm sorry. If other financing sources are not sufficient, then it keeps the financing cost low. The amount on the promissory note between the school and LLAC will be the maximum borrowing, regardless if a portion of the loan has been paid back. For fiscal year 21-22, the school is requesting approval to borrow up to $500,000 from LLAC if needed and necessary. The interest rate is now set at 4%. And again, if there are any changes to the provisions of the promissory note agreement, they will be brought back to the board for review. And that concludes my section. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gita. Any comments or questions from the board? All right. If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6J? Barbara Gillibrand moved to approve 6J.
Mike
Malloy,
second.
Okay, so we got Barbara Gillibrand moving, and I'm going to go with Mike Malloy seconding, okay? All right.
Okay.
So, no. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
John Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Mike Malloy. John Dortch? Okay. Barbara Gillibrand?
Aye.
I get your names right. All right. It's unanimous that we approved 6J. So now we're on 6K. Getting a little rummy here, aren't we? So let's go. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual with Gita.
Thank you, board. So as you all know, this is a fluid document. If there's any changes, it always comes back to the board for review and approval. The manual was revised, allowing a designee signer in absence of area superintendent. So basically the sections that you see in your packet that have been revised is on starts on page 167 of your packet. It's the last pages of your PDF packet. Are just sections that was revised to allow a designee signer in absence of area soup. So in this scenario, will be Jenna having the authority to make approvals and sign. So that concludes my section. If there's any questions, please I'll be happy to respond. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gita. Any comments or questions from the board members? If not, can I have a motion and a second to approve 6K?
John Dortch, move.
Barbara Gillibrand, second. All right, so John Dortch has moved and Barbara Gillibrand has seconded. We'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dortch?
Aye.
Barbara Gillibrand?
Aye.
6K has been approved unanimously. We are now on 7, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you. As we complete the session of this period of time, and on behalf of the San Diego Mission Academy, I would personally like to thank President Stanford, Secretary Beck, members Malloy, Dortch, Gillibrand, for their dedication to this program, their oversight, and their good attitude in working with us. I really want to thank you all for that personally. And I also want to congratulate you on your reconfirmation to the board. Looking forward to working with you in the future. Thank you so much. Back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. This is Board President Stanford. I'd just like to comment that it's been a hard year with COVID, and I'm looking forward to good things happening next year. And thank you so much, Jenna and Gita, for all the hard work you did today in this meeting. That's a lot of work, and we appreciate it. And thank you for everyone that's on the line that's helped, too. Any comments from other board members?
Beck, I just put there with you, Carol.
I know.
Pass to Carol.
All right. Hi, Barbara.
Yeah.
It's it was long, I know. All right. Anybody else?
Madam President, I'm sorry. This is Jenna Yunus. May I address the board briefly?
Certainly. Go right ahead.
Sure. I want to thank you all for your support of SDOD over the past year, especially, and since our opening. I want to apologize for having a momentary lapse of memory in the middle of my previous report. I want to just comment that for the LCFS local indicators, the indicators that were reviewed and written in the report are the required indicators for the school, and some of the other indicators were not applicable to San Diego Mission Academy. So I was thinking to myself, how did I miss that? And we've done so many drafts and revisions and reviews, but all is well. I also wanted to address the California Healthy Kids Survey. The California Healthy Kids Survey is an optional survey that is not required anymore by schools, but it is an option that schools can implement. So in addition to the feelings of safety and connectedness, I know it does survey social emotional aspects of students' lives, and I am familiar with that survey as well. So I just I want to thank the board for bringing that up and, keeping me on my toes today. I appreciate it. It's been a great year, and we're looking forward to a great future.
I want to say ditto. I feel the same way. I just can't tell you. But, you know what, we're all growing together in this, and I think we've become close because we're all going towards the same goals, and I'm learning a lot all the time. So thank you so much, Jenna, for all that you do.
You're welcome.
All right. Anybody else who has to make a comment, wants to make a comment, you don't have to.
Well, yes, this is Board Member Doris, and I'd just like to thank Jenna for her clarifications. But it's been a very long meeting, lengthy agenda. I'd like to thank both Jenna and Guida for their expertise in presenting their very lengthy reports. Thank you very much.
I know. Everybody is a trooper on this. We appreciate it so much. All right. Anybody else? This is your time. I know you're all laughing. All right, we're going to go to closing items. And this is our next regular board meeting is August 24th, 2021 at 2:30. And it's to be determined whether we're going to be in person or not. So wait for further details. They're looking into that right now.
Yes,
and
we
so
are.
Now what yes, you are. And we appreciate that. I know. In a way, I kind of hope we are together, and I don't know what I think, but we need to do that. We need to all get together. All right. So I need a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting.
Mike Malloy makes the motion.
Barbara Willebrand second.
So Mike Malloy makes the motion, and Barbara Willebrand second that we adjourn this meeting. So we're going to vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John George?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So we are adjourned. Thank you all so much for participating.